my hope. This is called the last bastion of freedom. Richard Rombrath, he was a Romanian evangelist, okay? He was an evangelical Christian minister and an author who spent a total of 14 years imprisoned in Romania for his faith. He was also the father of the Voice of the Martyrs, an international, interdenominational organization working with and for persecuted Christians around the world. And this is what he wrote. Every freedom-loving man has two fatherlands, his own and America. Today, America is the hope of every enslaved man because it is the last bastion of freedom in the world. Only America has the power and the spiritual resources to stand as a barrier between militant communism and the people of the world. It is the last dike holding back the floodwaters of militant communism. If it crumbles, there is no other dike, no other dam, no other line of defense to fall back upon. America is the last hope of millions of enslaved peoples. They look to it as their second fatherland. In it lies their hopes and prayers. I have seen fellow prisoners in communist prisons, beaten, tortured, with 50 pounds of chains on their legs, praying for America. They're praying that the dike will not crumble, that it will remain free. There are people around the world praying for the United States of America. While they're suffering, because they see us as the last hope of freedom. If America falls, they have lost all hope. We as Americans cannot let them down. We must take on the call of being Christ's ecclesia and move forward. And we can with power and demonstration because we're empowered with the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now we'll go to my message. Psalm 127, verse 1. And it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The ERV, it says, if it is not the Lord who builds a house, the builders are wasting their time. If it is not the Lord who watches over the city, the guards are wasting their time. Real clear, if it is not the Lord who builds a nation, the builders are wasting their time. America was built upon the Word of God and upon much prayer. Prayer was even required to complete the Constitution. In the summer of 1787, as American founders met in Philadelphia Hall to hammer out the specifics of our nation's governing Constitution, tempers flared among the delegates of the 13 colonies to such an extent that the entire convention was in danger of breaking down. Into this atmosphere, thick with division, and conflict, an 81-year-old statesman slowly rose to speak words of profound wisdom. Although one of the least religious of our nation's founders, Dr. Benjamin Franklin, nonetheless understood how critical moral and biblical values would be to this newborn republic. Listen to this word, appealing to the words of the Psalm 127, verse 1. Franklin addressed George Washington, president of the convention, and counseled his fellow delegates to beseech the aid of Almighty God before they proceeded any further. This is a quote. This is his speech. "I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is probable that an empire can raise without it." We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. I finally believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we will succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our partial local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down the future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter from this unfortunate incident despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg thee to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in the service. See, God indeed answered the prayers of the founding fathers as on September 17th, 1787, the drafting of the United States Constitution was completed. It's the greatest political document ever written. Franklin's words remain forever true as our nation faces today's political, moral, and spiritual issues. Ain't nothing new. We shall fall in this grand experiment of liberty unless we seek the assistance of heaven. Amen. So as we know in the scripture what to say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, right? But it also says the people he has chosen for his inheritance. We're included in that. But you notice when he said he was appealing. We need to appeal to heaven. You know the flag, the pine tree flag, right? We all know it, the pine tree flag. It's called the appeal to heaven flag. The phrase, appeal to heaven, is a particular expression of the right of revolution. It was used by the British philosopher John Locke in chapter 14 of his second treatise on civil government, which was published in 1690 as part of two treatises of government. I kept wanting to say Teresa. It's treatises. Treatises. But it was on government, refuting the theory of the divine right of kings. See, he believed that people had natural rights, God-given rights. This is what he wrote in part of it. And where the body of people, or any single man, is deprived of their right, or is under the exercise of a power without right, and have no appeal on earth, then they have a liberty to appeal to heaven. Whenever they judge the cause of sufficient moment. And therefore, though the people cannot be judged so as to have, by the constitution of that society, any superior power to determine and give effective sentence in the case, yet they have, by a law, a descendant and parliament to all positive laws of men, reserve that ultimate determination to themselves, which belongs to all mankind, where there lies no appeal on earth, whereas to judge whether they have just cause to make their appeal to heaven. He was making an appeal and telling you, once you prayed, pick up your guns and arm yourself, is what he went on to say. Locke urged that all persons are endowed with natural rights to life, liberty, and property, and that rulers who fail to protect those rights may be removed by the people by force if necessary. But when you read life, liberty, and property, he wrote, World Economic Forum, you know what they've stated? They're going to make sure that they own all the property and your property. And they said, you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy. What happened to the American dream with that? People came to this country so they could own a piece of land. They wanted a piece of America to build a home and establish it. Don't you understand? There are people out there that want to take away these things from us. They want to reform our government. They're in there already. They've infiltrated it big time. That's where the ecclesia is now coming alive. We are fighting back. We have won on many battlefronts. Some you may think, okay, that one didn't turn out good. That one's a bad one. It ain't over till God says it's over. Because that's what we answer with two words. But God. But God. Am I right, brother? Amen. People are in a fight for their lives. And then they call you and they talk and they ask for specific prayer. But they're asking you with doubt and unbelief. Because they're giving you what's going on and they're speaking just the opposite. They're speaking a negativeness. Your response is, but God. But God. Put your trust in the Almighty. Locke's works, though, were well known and frequently quoted by colonial leaders, being the most quoted authority on the government in the 1760 to 1776 period, prior to the American independence. Locke's two writings on the government were most influential in American philosophy of government. In fact, Richard Henry Lee, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, saw the Declaration as being copied from that work. Locke was not only one of the most cited political philosophers during the founding era, but the single most frequently cited source in the years leading up to our Declaration of Independence. The Appeal to Heaven flag was the first flag flown on the Massachusetts Navy, commissioned by George Washington and the Massachusetts General Court. Prior to that, the appeal to heaven or similar expressions have been invoked by many and by the Massachusetts Provincial Congress in several of their resolutions. Patrick Henry, in his Liberty or Death speech, and the Second Continental Congress in the Declaration of the Clauses and Necessity of Taking Up Arms. And do you know where they were meeting that day, where he gave that speech at? Those delegates were meeting in St. John's Episcopal Church in Richmond, Virginia. They were in church. The government was in the church. Because that's where they knew that people gathered. People of faith. Not people of paste and flour, but of faith. Faith people. They knew that they could reason with them, talk with them. He was trying to get other people to understand. He was willing to put it all on the line, wasn't he, Patrick Henry? And he did. He did. When he signed his name on that document, he put his life on the line. With 55 other members, they put their lives on the line for this country. But when we talk about the right to bear arms and how important it is, that's why we have the Second Amendment. Second Amendment to the United States Congress, and it reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. Infringed. Act so as to limit or undermine. It's right there in black and white. And yet, all the states, everybody tries to go against it. This is one that how many times you take it to the Supreme Court and there's, you know, they strike them down. Infringed. It's there. Everybody agreed to it. And we are sworn to uphold the laws of the land. But anyhow, having fled persecution in Great Britain, the Puritans had laws requiring every family to own a gun, to carry it in public places, and to train children in the use of the firearms. In 1619, the colony of Virginia had statutes that required everyone to bear arms. Connecticut law in 1650 required every man above the age of 16 to possess a good musket or other gun fit for service. The early laws of America are very clear about this. The people were responsible for their own defense and freedoms and needed to be prepared to fight. Thomas Jefferson said, the strongest reason for the people to retain the right to bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves against tyranny in government. You know, the founding fathers understood what happens when government gets out of control. You can say, you're living in the past, you're living in the old West. No, I'm not. I'm living in today. It's no different than it was back then. What about gun violence? Well, what about gun violence? Let's get to the root of it. Let's find out what's instigating it in the first place. Well, it sounds like we have a problem in our society because we have too many people that don't know how to raise up and train up the child in the way that they should go. And then when you don't, you give them to a psychiatrist who thinks they know it all. Oh, he ain't a Christian psychologist. You in trouble because they're going to give you and they're going to agree with you. And they're going to say that this man, you know, doesn't know what he's doing. You know, I'm just sorry. I won't do that. I won't recommend you to go. If you call here, we're going to give you the word. We're going to give you someone to get a hold of that counsels according to the word. That's what they are. They're called to do that. The psychiatrist, well, we won't go there. All I know is my mom's not in this world because of that profession. See, because they prescribed medication they shouldn't have. And then they cold turkeyed her off of it. Okay? That's all I got to say. So do I have a bad taste for them? Yeah, there might be some good ones in there, but if they aren't saved, born again, I'm not going to recommend them to you. Because I don't think you need worldly counsel. Okay, back on. George Mason. I think that was Anthony. Isn't that Chris's great-great-grandfather? I think it is. Anyhow, George Mason, called the father of the Bill of Rights. He was called the father of the Bill of Rights. He said this, "What is a militia? It is the whole of the people. To disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave them." And if you don't believe me, just look at Australia.
Come on.
Come on, just look over there at the countries who have taken the guns away from the people. Government's not afraid of them. That's why we have the Constitution. And we cannot let them take away those type of rights. Like they can't even take the right away from us to assemble here. Because it said right there, the very first one, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Not even in a pandemic.
No. They can. We agreed to do that. We did originally. Well, okay, it's the best thing. They all know. But then they didn't want to let us open back up. Because we all started to see the truth. See, and the truth will set you free. But what did they suppress during that? Right here, it says, or abridging the freedom of speech. And then it even goes in. I love that. Got the Declaration of Independence. I got the Bill of Rights. I got little biographies about each and every one who wrote, did something for our nation and what they stood for. Awesome. That's why we have the Bill of Rights. If you haven't refreshed yourself on it, get a copy of it. It will enlighten you because I think a lot of us, they want us to forget what we have as rights. And they keep trying to steal and take them away. We're saying, okay, I guess we can't do that. We got to know what is ours. And what is not. But with the approach of the American Revolution, the natural rights philosophers had established the foundation for self-defense. Every man's life, they said, belongs to God, and to allow one's life to be taken because one failed to defend it is wrong. This natural law to the right of self-defense was also applied to the duty to protect one's family, community, national liberties. For the colonists, at the heart of their religion was liberty, a sacred gift from God Almighty. You know, he's been having his people arm themselves for a long time. Because it was done right here. In Genesis chapter 14, you remember when Lot, when the kings had a battle and Lot got swooped up into it? They took Lot, his family, everything they owned. right? This was by four kings. Four kings and their armies come in and defeated five kings. The ones that were in charge of Sodom and Gomorrah and, you know, all that thing. Well, anyhow, somebody breaks away and escapes and runs and tells Abram. As it wasn't Abraham yet. Tells Abram. He says this. He said that they have come and taken up your nephew and all his family and possessions. Verse 14 here in says, now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit. 318, made sure they were armed. And they went after to bring him back. They went out against four armies. End of the story, he got them, brought them back, all safe and sound. And then what did he do? He got blessed by Melchizedek. Did he not? He gave tithe to Melchizedek. Okay. All right. So, but that's a whole nother story. But yeah, we see God's telling us we got to make sure we're armed to defend ourselves. He doesn't want us to be without defense. Amen. And it's automatic rifle. It's not assault. Okay, get it right, what it's called. See, they put a name on it so that you'd be afraid of it. People who don't understand, that's why it's an assault rifle. No, it's not. It's an automatic rifle. That's what it was called. That was what it was designed for. And I'm just doing it so I'm letting you know because you can take it a step further because I know how much I've studied into it. But see, you need to be aware of what's going on and what they're doing and how they're trying to convince us otherwise, put us in fear. Fear, because once they take our guns away, we don't have nothing to fight with. We leave ourselves unarmed. So subsequently, the phrase, an appeal to heaven, was used again, though in the Second Continental Congress, in the Declaration of Independence. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, due in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies. They were doing what the people wanted them to do. Now, tomorrow we celebrate Independence Day. And you got to remember, on June 11th, 1776, the colony's Second Continental Congress met in Philadelphia and formed a committee whose express purpose was drafting a document that would formally sever their ties with Great Britain. The committee included Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Roger Sherman, and Robert R. Livingston. Jefferson was considered the strongest and most elegant writer, crafted the original document. But there was a total of 86 changes that were made in his draft, and the Continental Congress officially adopted the final version on July 4th, 1776. The following day, copies of the Declaration of Independence were distributed, and on July 6th, the Pennsylvania Evening Post became the first newspaper to print the extraordinary document. The Declaration of Independence has since become our nation's most sacred and cherished symbol of liberty. On July 8, 1776, the first public reading of the Declaration were held, and they were held at Philadelphia's Independence Square, and they celebrated it by the ringing of bells and playing music, band music. 1 year later, on July 4th, 1777, Philadelphia marked Independence Day by adjourning Congress, giving him the day off, and celebrating with bonfires, bells, and fireworks. Fireworks came into play then. The custom eventually spread to other towns, both large and small, where the day was marked with parades, speeches, picnics, contests, games, military display, and fireworks. Observations throughout the nation became more common at the end of the War of 1812 with Great Britain. You would have thought they learned by now, right? Hey, we're still trying. What did Boris Johnson just recently say when he was questioned about America? Oh, no, you never count them out. Oh, no, they're not out of control. Because he knows that we are established on godly principles. They may not agree with him, but on that one, I say, yeah, you understand where we're coming from, bro. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one. The tradition still continues across many communities today, marking tomorrow we'll have parades. We've had fireworks starting for the last several days. I mean, that's all you listen to. Boom, 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 boom. You know, constantly. And it won't. And tomorrow will be another one. And it won't quit then. It'll continue for the rest of the week, you know. Till everybody gets satisfied with all their booms and bangs, you know? Some people just like the bangs and the booms. And my brother who loved this holiday so much, he's not going to be here for it. I'm sorry. I can still hear it. Fire in the hole. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I miss that man. Wow. Hallelujah. But also, we have this day remembered by the singing of God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And we can't, this one, God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea. From Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A. Where's pride in every American heart? In its time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave their right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Hallelujah. And for those far leftists who are not proud to be an American, don't let the door hit you on the way out. That's what I got to tell you. Right now, I'm going to do this. Join me, folks. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. 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 I am definitely proud to be called an American. Yes, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed are the people he has chosen as his own. The word blessed here means manifestly happy. Manifestly happy. Yeah, look it up, see what that says. But in the New Life Version says, happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy are the people he has chosen for his own. And every time I read that, I think of Phil. Happy, happy, happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. In Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, how about this? Happy is the man who does not walk in a way sinful men tell him to. Those who listen to God's counsel will be happy. So pay attention. See, the key here is to be listening. And we listen to the Holy Spirit. The Greek word, number 4851, in the Strong's Concordance, is the word sumphoro. Sumphoro. Spelled S-U-M-P-H-E-R-O. And it means to bring together, causing an advantage. Heard this recently, brother? This is the word Jesus used in John 16:7. He said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. This is to our advantage. He says that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you, to be in close fellowship with you. He said it was to our advantage that he went back to heaven. This was so he could send Holy Spirit to us. Listen to this. In his fleshly body, Jesus could only be in one place at one time. When Holy Spirit came, he would be in us, not just with us, and could be in and with all of us all the time, and yes, all at the same time. Our nation's founding fathers were listening and established our nation on God's word and through much prayer. The founding fathers were not all Christians, but they were all deeply influenced by the Bible and the Judeo principles of Christianity, a mindset that helped shape their political ideals. The founding fathers, although had a very biblical perspective, we can see, because that's what they used. They used that and the Word of God for the foundation of our great nation. As we can see, there was a predominant Christian consensus in the colonies of America. The most definite defining shaped from this by our fathers, the founding fathers, thinking, and that's what made them write it down as the documents that we have today. And these documents have become law. They are our laws. the Constitution is the law. It has the final authority. But we know that we have a right to have an appeal to heaven. Don't ever forget your ability to appeal to the Heavenly Father. But this resulted in the public republic that we have today. The Declaration of Independence identified the source of all authority and rights as their creator, and then accentuated that individual human rights were God-given, not man-made. Let me read a part of that. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate, to separate, and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the clauses which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That means unalienable, means they can't take them away from you. They cannot take your godly rights away from you. That among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Happiness so you can own property. Okay. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Thus, there would be no king or established religion that would stand in the right of human liberty or dignity. This is uniquely Christian, folks. And you see it in these writings. Now, they list all the grievances. Go back. I'm not going to read all of them. But the last paragraph. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude and our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract allegiances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, I like this part. And for the support of this declaration, we affirm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. I like that. In support of this declaration, we affirm reliance We affirm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Divine providence, that's God. That is God. Their faith and the Word of God gave them the confidence to write the Declaration of Independence and to acknowledge God for His divine protection. Because of a word, covenant. We have a covenant with the Almighty God. We have the promises of the covenant that were made to Abraham through Jesus Christ. To God be all the glory. But when you see that affirm reliance, that's talking about trust. They were trusting in the Lord with all their heart. They had confidence in writing this document, signing their name to it. But they knew they had to continue to pray. Yeah, they had to fight, but they had to pray. And God didn't let them down. Back from the day they stuck that cross down there at Cape Henry in Virginia Beach, they established this country to put forth the gospel and for Him. He said, "We established, this is for Jesus," they said. "This land belonged to Jesus." That's why He said, "Folks, enter the promised land. This is His land. We are to possess the land." If God be for us, who can be against us? "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for all of us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Yes, all things. Psalm 146, 7. He stands up for those who are treated badly. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The 13 colonies were most definitely being treated badly, and they wanted to be set free. They were being treated like prisoners. The founding fathers knew, with God's help, that they would achieve freedom. Because when you jump up to verse 5 there in Psalm 146, "Happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable is he who has the God Israel for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." This experiment of personal liberty and human rights through representative government was uncommon, and if not unheard of in that day. Ultimately, at great cost, the colonies won their freedom in 1783. These founding fathers and the colonists put their faith in God and believed His word to be true. God gave them supernatural strength to endure and attain the independence that we will celebrate the signing of tomorrow, July 4th, 2022. Now, how many of you watched Flashpoint on Friday? Huh? All I got to say, if you have not, flashpoint.govictory.com, and then you'll see and you'll be able to revisit and watch that. There was a move of God that happened. How long was it? 3 hours, folks. I couldn't move. I sat there intense with it, because it was not only what they revealed to us in through natural things, but they brought God throughout the whole thing. And then there was a move of God that they prayed that people got saved. People, there was healings that come down. It was spectacular. I mean, you could feel the anointing through the TV when they were saying, "Reach out your arms with us, touch us," and they were talking to all of us, like it just if we were sitting in that auditorium. It was unbelievable. Yeah, when you sit down, that was on me, on our hands. I said to you, you could feel it. It was awesome. Yeah, so I encourage you to go watch it. I encourage you to go watch it. But this is something that really, when they did this, and this was written by Gene Bailey and his wife, and I gave it to you. It's called The Watchman's Decree. And they had Hank Kuhneman and his wife, Brenda, and I think a lot of you have her books on decreeing. And if you haven't got one of their books, get one. They're fantastic. And they put down a bunch of stuff, and then they sent it to Dutch and Cece Sheets and says, what do you think? And what they did was they put it all together into what you have right here. And then what he said, he says, I give you rights right here that to republish this. Get it out to everybody. He wants this in everybody's hands so that they can say it every day, our decree. What's so important about decreeing? Well, in Job 22:28, it states, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. This scripture is a powerful attestment to the power of the spoken word. When we decree and declare according to God's word, we are operating in our dominion authority. And where did we get that authority from? From God. And activating our power. So with that, we're going to do what they did. We're going to read this together right now. Okay? So you got your paper out? Start with me. As a patriot of faith, I attest my allegiance first and foremost to the kingdom of God and the Great Commission. Secondly, I agree to be a watchman over our nation concerning its people and their rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Whereas, we, the church, are God's governing body on the earth. We have been given legal power from heaven and now exercise our authority. We are God's ambassadors and spokesmen over the earth. Through the power of God, we are the world influencers. Because of our covenant with God, we are equipped and delegated by Him to destroy every attempted advance of the enemy. We make our declarations. We decree that America, executive branch of government, will honor God and defend the Constitution. We decree that our legislative branch, Congress, will write only laws that are righteous and constitutional. We decree that our judicial system will issue rulings that are biblical and constitutional. We declare that we stand against wokeness, the occult, and every evil attempt against our nation. We declare and we take back our God-given freedoms according to our Constitution. We declare that we take back influence at the local level in our communities. We decree that we take back and permanently control positions of influence and leadership in each of the seven mountains. We decree that the blood of Jesus covers and protects our nation. It protects and separates us for God. We declare that our nation is energy independent. We declare that America is strong spiritually, financially, military, and technologically. We decree that evil carries no power, authority, or right in our land, nor over our people. We decree that we will operate in unity, going beyond denominational lines in order to accomplish the purposes of God for our nation. And we decree that America shall be saved. We know this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. We know the truth. Therefore, we stand for truth and will never be deceived. We will never stop fighting. We will never, ever, ever give or give in. We will take our country back. We will honor the true one, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. America shall be saved. Hallelujah.